Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
This is Crown Talking Drum, and the views and opinions expressed on the Crown Talking Drum Radio Network are solely those of the hosts, guests, and callers. These views and opinions do not represent those of the Crown Talking Drum Radio Network, its management, hosts, or advertisers. Thank you for listening to Crown Talking Drum.
Good afternoon. This is Felisa Williams, your faith-based community nurse, and we're in the trenches again talking about health and wellness. And as always, I do trust and pray that things have gone well with you and you've stayed healthy and safe and that you're taking care of yourself during these times of lots of issues that's going on. And so tonight, just want to spend a little time directing my program to men's health. We have had a lot of recently an increase in prostate cancer, or maybe not prostate cancer, but prostate problems in general, but definitely an increase in prostate cancer. And so I want to spend a little time talking about this health issue, which is very common among men, especially black men. We're not going to start off with the scripture tonight, but I wanted to start off with a quote by Dennis Waitley, and he says, "Time and health are two precious assets that we don't recognize and appreciate until they have been depleted." And that is so true, because a lot of times I have people that come in and they're having issues and they can relate back to things that they did in the past that impacted their current health status. And even though they changed what they were doing, it still had already impacted them. So, health is very precious. And even though we've done some things, all of us have done some things that are not conducive to good health, but the thing is not to continue those, but to correct them. So we're going to talk a little bit about the prostate, because we're having a lot of issues with that. And so may not get to all of this, but we want to start talking about this because I think it is an emerging health issue, especially among men now. And I think we just need to spend a little time with that. We always do general health, and we do health as it relates to women, but let's help the men tonight in understanding what's going on. So as we know, the prostate is part of the male reproductive system, and with good health and taking care of yourself, you don't have any problems. But what we're seeing now is we're seeing different issues with prostate problems. Not always cancer, but definitely an increase in prostate cancer. But one of the things that men should do is always have their PSA checked. The PSA is an antigen that checks for the issue of any problem. Does not indicate that you actually have cancer, but when you do that PSA, what we are doing is we're looking at it and making sure it stays stable. within the normal guidelines. And if we see a change, then, of course, we want to do some investigation and see what's going on. Now, one thing I do tell people that the Horizon, the PSA, does not indicate cancer. However, it does indicate that there's something going on with the within the prostate that needs to be addressed. And so that is the reason why you should have your PSA checked. Because, like I said, it could be a number of things. One of the things that we are seeing sometimes when we do the PSA, we do further investigation and find out they don't have prostate cancer, but they may have what we call prostatitis. Is just means that an infection of the prostate. There are actually four different conditions of prostatitis, two of which are linked to having urinary tract infections, and the other types are not. So a lot of times, men will come. We will do like our routine lab, and we'll do. Urinalysis, which is part of our lab, and we'll see an abnormal lab, which indicates they have UTI. Now, typically because of men anatomy, they don't get UTIs. It's very rare for them to have it. It's not that they can't have it, but it's not normal because the anatomy dictates that they should be away from contamination. Women are very prone to UTIs because they have back-to-back openings which allows for bacteria to cross-contaminate. So repeated UTIs, you want to wonder what is going on. And that's why we do further investigation. Men that have prostatitis, they may have an infection or they may have some inflammation and or they can have some pain. And in any age group can have prostatitis. Now, half of the men that have symptoms of prostatitis at some point in their life, it's the most common urinary tract issue that we see in men that are younger than 50. In men, over 50, it's more like the third most common thing we see. It's estimated that more than 2 million men see a healthcare provider every year for prostatitis. So I told you there is actually four different types of prostatitis. You can have like the acute bacterial prostatitis. Actually, it's a urinary tract infection that causes an infection in the prostate gland. And sometimes you could have like fever and chills. You may experience painful or frequent urination, or have trouble doing that. And so with this, it requires like an immediate medical treatment. And that's why when people come in and they are seeing that they have, when they go to the bathroom, they're having some lower abdominal pain, some lower back pain. They may say that when they urinate, they have some pain, and sometimes they'll say, "Well, I try to urinate, but I it's takes me a while to get started. Some people say, well, I urinate, but it's not like the amount I usually do, even though I'm drinking. Or, you know, they may see, and we ask all that, we may see change in we ask them about the color of their urine, if there's any odor with the urine, or all these different things. So we ask all of that because then what we start looking at is that it could be prostatitis, but that urinary tract infection gives us a clue. Now, and usually that's like an acute, you know, person has a problem with it, and that's the end of it. We give them an antibiotic, and they're finished. But then we have some men that have chronic bacterial prostatitis. That's where the bacteria does become trapped in the prostate gland, and they keep having urinary tract infections. In fact, recently in the clinic, I've had a couple men. We had one man, it's back-to-back urinary tract infections. Every time we get rid of it, it returns. And so these chronic urinary tract infections, which causes chronic bacterial prostatitis, they're very difficult to treat because you keep trying antibiotics, and at some point it becomes, you know, where we're just going to have to do IV antibiotics, and then after that, then we send them to urology for so that they can have further treatment. Then another type of prostatitis is what we call the chronic pelvic pain syndrome. It's the most common type. It's where the prostate gland inflammation occurs, usually in about 1 out of 3 men. And, you know, what it means, there's a chronic problem there. Okay, it's treatable, we can take care of that. And then you have some that have asymptomatic inflammatory prostatitis. That means they can have inflammation of the gland, but they don't have any symptoms. And they really don't realize that they have problems until for some reason they get a test and it shows up. So what we have been educating our male patients is, if you see any blood in your urine or semen, if you have difficulty urinating, if it becomes frequent or you become incontinent where you can't control your urine, if you have pain during urination or intercourse, you need to be talking to the doctor. Yes, what we're doing now is a lot of people are having these signs of prostate problems, and we want to go ahead and address the issue now. And the sooner we address it, the faster we can get clear of the bacteria. If it becomes chronic, then, like I said, then we're going to have to kind of investigate. We're going to treat it, but then we do a lot more investigation. Now, bear in mind, this is not cancer. It's just an inflammation of the prostate. That's all it is, okay? The other thing that we're seeing a lot of is, and I don't know if you heard the term, but the term is called BPH, and that's what we call benign prostatic hyperplasia. Very common, very common. The short name for it is just enlarged prostate, and you may have, you know, some of the symptoms are the same. Usually by age 60, 50% of men will have some signs of BPH, and by 85, about 90% will have signs of this problem. It's benign. It's not cancerous. It's just over the time the prostate enlarges, okay, and you develop. You may develop symptoms, and you know that we may have to treat. some of the things that we look at is most men will report to us, and y'all, I'm very frank because I deal with veterans, and, you know, they're used to me being very frank. So what they do is they'll say when they get ready to urinate, it's slow, or they just dribble, or they have trouble getting started. They'll tell us, you know, all of a sudden I'm going, you know, use the bathroom and don't realize it. They may have a sudden urge. And the one thing we see at night is what we call nocturia urination. And that's when usually at night they go to the bathroom more often. And I try to explain to them that, you know, when you're laying down at night, your muscles are more relaxed. And so a lot of times, you know, the urge to go is real quick. A lot of people can do very well during the day. It's the nighttime because they're sleeping, they're relaxed, and they say, "Oh, I got to get up in the bathroom." And some people say, "I get up 10 times a night," you know, and it's not that they're drinking a lot. It's just that the prostate has enlarged and it is pressing on the bladder. Then some people say that they go to the bathroom, but they don't feel like they're emptying because they have to go back. They may have pain, you know, when they're urinating or ejaculating. They can see the change in the color of their urine, and it smells. And remember, I told you, we asked them, is it change color? Does it smell? And things like that. So when you have BPH or enlarged prostate, which is a short term for it, what we typically do is put you on some medication that will relax the muscles in your prostate. That reduces the tension on the urethra so that you don't have to go to the bathroom as often. And a lot of those are like Flomax or Tamsulosin, which is generic. We use Terazosin or Hydrin. We also use Doxazosin, Aflozosin, and Sedazosin. And if you've heard any of them, Rapaflow, Uraxtrel, these are all medicines. And what it is it's used to decrease the hormone that so you can slow down the growth of the prostate. The medications that we give when the prostate is really enlarged, you know, because like I said, it just gets larger. We'll give you the terazosin or the tamsulosin or even the doxazosin, but we will add like finasteride or dutasteride, and we add that because of the prostate is steadily getting larger, and so we want to slow down that growth. So we add this to hopefully slow it down. Decrease the production of the hormone that causes the increased size of the prostate. And so sometimes people have to have two, depending on how large your prostate is. But this is something that you can talk to your provider about. This is one of the things that I always tell all the males, even in my church, this is one thing you need to keep an eye on. Not that it's going to happen to you, not that you will have any of these problems. It's just important that you know what your numbers are and if there's any change in your numbers. Because a lot of times, when we see, like if we do a PSA and let's say it's a little bit above what it normally should be, a lot of times we'll wait and we'll repeat it. And we just watch the pattern and see if it continually increases. And if it does, a lot of times what they'll do, they'll go ahead and treat you for prostatitis or anyway. Or if you have the symptoms of enlarged prostate, they may go ahead and treat that. But the thing of it is, we want to keep everybody, just like we tell diabetics, you need to know your A1C. Men need to know what their prostate number is. They need to really be, and like we tell you, your cholesterol numbers and their, this is just as important as those things too in terms of male, okay? So we really encourage that, to know those numbers. Now, there are times that surgery is required, and to remove the prostate, but I want to get into, before I get into that, I want to get into prostate cancer. Now, the surgeries I'm talking about is for those, well, let's go ahead and do it. Once your prostate is enlarged, depending on how big it is and how much it's in, it's affecting your urinary flow, if it's causing significant blockage, they may need to do surgery. And the most common one that I see a lot to remove the prostate is what we call a TURP. And that's where they go in with a special instrument and kind of allows them to see and to remove the prostate tissue, alleviating some of that pressure on the urethra and creating a lot of frequent bathroom breaks, going to the bathroom a lot. And there's several others, but that is the one that most commonly we see. I see those a lot, and it looks like lately they're more and more. So I don't really know what's going on. If I had to do a research project, I probably would want to know more about that. But you know, not doing that. Usually after the procedure, you can resume your normal activity within a few days or a week. But if you have BPH, fruits, vegetables, and healthy fat can benefit your prostate health. Berries and broccoli and citrus and nuts, tomatoes, turmeric. They even recommend consider the Mediterranean diet, and I haven't investigated. I've heard a lot about it, but I'm not too big on specialized diets. So, but those are things that are good. And if you notice, whenever I talk about anything to improve your health, no matter what it is, it boils down to the same thing. Is healthy eating, which really is the essence of good health. So they do recommend that you do a lot of fruits and vegetables and healthy fat. One thing they do say that a poor diet does worsen your BPH, and that if you do have it, if you haven't, and maybe you haven't had the surgery, one of the good things to do is to avoid processed foods, sugars, large amounts of carbohydrate. And processed foods are foods that are already prepared. These lunch meats, they're processed. And definitely you should avoid, especially in large amounts, alcohol, caffeine, dairy products, red meat. We've told men a lot of times, decrease your red meat. Very important to decrease red meat because it is one of the things that they think promotes enlarged prostate. And, of course, decrease your salt. Nothing in what I've told you is anything that you shouldn't be doing. Dairy is probably about the only one that typically, if you're don't have a problem is not an issue. But if you notice, everything that I have said so far has to do with things that we should be decreasing and things that we should be eating, okay? So just know that when we're dealing with prostate, it's not always cancer. It could be prostatitis, or it could be BPH or enlarged prostate. Now, the bigger that we're, like I'm saying now, is prostate cancer. I had a doctor who thought at a certain age that we didn't need to do PSA anymore. But guess what? And I think he was in his early 60s. He was diagnosed with prostate cancer, and he had to have surgery. Changed his mind. So, see, sometimes doctors don't always agree with checking PSAs often, but this is your health, and you've got to be involved in that. So what we do now, and this may not be the guideline for the other private doctors, but we will check your PSA up to age 72. After 72, we check with symptoms or at request. But up to 72, it is part of our routine to check your PSA and monitor that. So what we're seeing now, like I said, we are seeing quite a bit of prostate cancer. Right now, it is one of the most common types of cancer. It grows slowly, and a lot of times it's just confined to the prostate. However, I have seen a little bit, I've seen a lot of change in a few years that this particular type of cancer has been increasing. It does, most of the time it is contained in the prostate, but there are some types of prostate cancer that can be very aggressive. Typically, what we saw in the past is that if a person had prostate cancer, they typically did not die of prostate cancer. They had it, but they didn't die from that. They died from something else. It had nothing to do with cancer. It has something else going on. That has changed. We're seeing that a lot of a prostate cancer now can be very aggressive, and people actually dying from the prostate cancer and not anything else. So that's why it's important that you do that PSA so that it can be detected early. Because the earlier you find something, the quicker you can treat it and the better your outcome. In its early stages, prostate cancer may not even cause any symptoms. You may not have any symptoms at all. Just only as it advances, you can see the symptoms. And the symptoms are basically what you have in the enlarged prostate and with the prostatitis. The only difference that you may additional problem you may see is you may have some bone pain and you may be losing weight without trying. But basically the others are basically the same. Trouble urinating, your decreased force of your urine stream, blood in your urine, your semen, problems with sexual function. They're all basically all the same, just the losing the weight and the bone pain. Now, there are some factors that increase your risk for prostate cancer. It increases with age. It's most common after the age 50, okay? The other thing, and we do not know why, Blacks have a greater risk of prostate cancer than other races. In blacks, prostate cancer is more is likely to be more aggressive or advanced. They don't know why. Now, this is only conjectural on my part. I think, and this is just working with men. In the past, black men have not been very proactive in their health care, number one. And then they don't ask for certain things because sometimes the doctor should, but sometimes you have to ask. Are you checking? And I have them now doing it more often. What is my PSA? He didn't get it this time. Well, I need my PSA. Okay? So I'm not sure that is all of the answer, but I do find that, you know, they're not as likely to go to the doctor like we do as women, basically because we're childbearing. Oh, I know in my church, most of the men in my church did not have a doctor. They weren't going to the doctor on a regular basis. They went to a doc in the box if something was wrong with them, but they did. And I talked to my pastor at that time, and I said, because he went. He was a veteran. And I said, this is not right. Our men need to be checked. And so we had a class and told them everybody had to have a doctor, and they had to report that doctor, report who they're seeing to me. So that may be one of the reasons. Could be genetics, but they don't know why. The other thing is family history, and we always know that family history plays a big part in cancer. So if you have some family history of cancer, it says that it can raise your risk. The other thing is obesity. People who are overweight have a higher risk of prostate cancer compared to people who have a healthy weight. The studies are mixed on the results, but this is what they come up with, that in obese people, the cancer is more likely to be aggressive and more likely to return after, after initial treatment. So basically, back to what I'm saying, eating right, maintaining good health, good weight is the way to go. You know, make sure, you know, again, diet full of fruits and vegetables, exercise, healthy weight, and talk to your doctor about your risk factor. And I'm pushing that because I don't care how busy that doctor is, he's getting paid to see you. Don't leave his office until all your questions are answered. Be aware of your health needs, of the problems maybe you're not facing, but the possibility that you are facing. And so ask questions. I do. And I encourage everybody to ask, you know. And I tell people, if you don't understand it, tell them to write it down. Even if you just write down the word, you can, if you know somebody in the medical field that can explain it to you, if not, Google it to get a better understanding. Don't walk out there not knowing what is going on with you, what your risk factors are, what he's doing to address all of your health issues. Now, in the past, prostate screening, they would do a digital exam, and that's where they go through the rectum and check the prostate. But most of the time now, they are doing just the blood. They're just doing the PSA and analyzing that, and based on the levels, it can indicate that there's an infection, inflammation, enlargement, or cancer, and that's how they're determining that. What they do to actually, what they'll do is, if the PSA keeps rising, they will recommend further testing. One of the things that they do is they do an ultrasound. They could do an MRI, And then they can do biopsy where they can actually collect tissue. A lot of that is based on what they see. And sometimes they can't determine what is going on until they actually go in and take a picture of the tissue, take a piece of the tissue, and do a biopsy. It just depends, and it depends on your PSA. I mean, I remember having a patient who had prostate cancer. This guy actually died of prostate cancer. And so he was going to the doctor, but there was changes. And so his wife was asking me, and I said, look, please don't tell the doctor I told you that, but I'm telling you this. This cancer has metastasized. He was having bone pain, extreme bone pain. His mental status was changing. This is somebody that was very alert at his age, right on top of it. And he was having a lot of mental changes. And I said, did they tell you his prostate, his PSA levels? And she said, no. So I said, you need to ask them because I think that it's aggressive now and I think it's metastasized. And actually, when she got the number, she was really shocked. And it had metastasized. And that's one of the patients that refused to go to hospice. So I stayed with him throughout the process until he died. So, because they didn't want to leave me. But ask questions. Even if you have prostate cancer, you know, you still got to ask questions. There are different things that they can do depending on how fast the cancer is growing and its effect over your overall health. They have to weigh what the benefits are. Now, the doctor that I had that had the prostate cancer, he had what we call a prostatectomy. In other words, he had a surgical removal of the prostate because it was contained right in the prostate. It hadn't gone anywhere. And so that is what he was doing. He opted for that. And that did that worked out fine for him. He was able to do well. Didn't have any more problems with that, and it's been years. And but that is one option. The other option is radiation therapy. Big thing that I'm seeing now is the seed where they actually inject the radiation in seeds into the area rather than, I mean, they could do it either way. They can do the radiation, which is the outward part of it, or they can actually do the seed, which they call the brachytherapy, and that goes right into the prostate area. Whatever you choose is something that you should discuss with your doctor, looking at the pros and the cons of what you want to do. Now, we did have, and this was years ago, they're not doing that anymore. At least we don't have to do it. We used to do, and I think they went to doing it right in the doctor's office right enough, but we used to do injection, Lupron injections for prostate cancer. And the thing of it is, and I hated doing it because it actually is a pellet that you're putting in the abdomen, and of course you have to use a large needle. So we would numb it up with ice and put it in, and it was pretty scary, but it's what we did. And so now they took that away from us, which it should have been, and the done by urologists. But I'm not sure if they're doing that a lot anymore. Like I said, most of the things I'm seeing now is they're doing, I know they're doing the surgical removal of the prostate. I had a veteran who's called a friend of mine. He did the radiation, but I think what happened, it got so aggressive that the radiation wasn't working, so they combined chemo. So this just a short information, but just important for all of us to be aware of things that are potential in impacting our health, and don't be afraid to ask questions from a doctor, you know. And I'm like this: if you don't have time to answer my question, I don't need you as a doctor. You just have to be aggressive about your health care, because nobody cares as much about you as you yourself. And that's what I tell people: you have to you care about you. I love me, so I ask questions, because my doctor knows if he tells me something other than what I know it should be, I'm asking questions, and I'm not leaving until I get the answer. And he'll pull stuff out. He said something to me one time, like, I was pre-diabetic. I said, I'm not pre-diabetic. I said, I know the numbers. And he said, the ADA changed, and he pulled it out, and he was showing it to me. That's what you want, okay? Doctors are not God. They don't have all the answers. They have answers to what we tell them. When we give them symptoms, they come up with a diagnosis. So ask questions. Don't always readily accept a procedure or something that you want to do, that they want to do. Just ask them the pros and cons. Okay, I've got prostate cancer. What's best for me? Why is it best for me? Why isn't this best for me? You know, ask the questions, and that's what I encourage you to do. So that's it for me tonight. Any questions or comments? Other than that, I'm through.
Good evening.
Hi.
This is Apostle Armstrong's brother, Deacon Armstrong. Thank you for really thank you for the information that you gave. I had been diagnosed with the prostate cancer, I think, about 3-4 years ago. And at that time, I was informed it was a slow, very slow process, and I have been checked accordingly. But mm-hmm. I had to switch over from a local oncologist or urologist. I had to switch from one of those and go to a larger city to get with more of a specialized doctor. And they gave me a lot of information. They gave me a website. They gave me a book. They gave me all kind of information about the surgery. And since there's the seeds, then to possibly, if it's that aggressive, they could remove the prostate plus use the radiation. There are a lot of ways to go, but we, the men, and our spouses, our families, we have to come together and discuss this thing and then decide on which is better, and not to just jump and say, well, that worked for him, so I'm going to try that, or that worked for that guy over there, so I'm going to try that. It's not necessarily that, because we're all individuals. And
exactly.
We have to, and as you said, we all have to go to God first. We have to go to him first and pray and ask him to lead us
in the right
because
direction.
If we make, that's right. If we make the wrong decision, you know, we're going. It's wrong because we took it upon ourselves to make the choice instead of asking God and getting with our families first and praying, and then a person will take it out on God. Well, God, you did this and you didn't know. We give it to God first, and then we'll go from there. Because the guy told me, he said, there's no rush, but we need to start looking at it because it's getting a little worse. And there's a lesion on top of the prostate. And, you know, they need me to start thinking about it and make a decision before too long, because if I wait too late, it's possible that it will go to the bones. They have me scheduled for a whole body, what is it, a CT?
A PET scan. If they're doing the whole body, they're doing a PET scan.
PET scan, yeah. The entire body.
You're right.
To see if it has spread to the bones and to any other of the body.
Right.
And I like I said, I really appreciate you. I had my alarm set to listen to you, and I wound up on another website looking at some stuff, and I got a call. Somebody reminded me, Parish Nurse is on. Okay. But I truly thank God for you and the information that you give. And by me being a deacon in my church, and I'm not outspoken, but I speak out in church, and I'm going to inform all the men members of the situation with the men. There's a possibility, not singling anybody out, but it's a possibility that any man can, you know, be infected with this prostate cancer. Possibility.
Exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, like I said, I encourage everybody. I pushed all the men in my church to do it. You know, especially because it is so common among black men.
Yes.
But I just wish that everybody had a somebody in the church, whether it's a doctor, nurse, or something, to really push this, because that's the only way we're going to make ourselves better and make ourselves aware. You can't make people do it, but you can certainly put the information out there. And in the past, it has not. And doctors' offices don't always put things out because they don't have an educator.
No.
They don't want to pay an educator because it requires an RN, and an RN commands a higher salary, but they don't see the benefit of that. Even if they had somebody in the office for 2 days a week, and that's all she did, it would be beneficial to them. It would decrease the number of repeat visits for things that over and over and over again. Yeah.
Right.
So,
Yeah. Okay.
Well, all right. I'm glad you got some information and. We pray that you make the right decision.
Yes, God willing. And then also, I will pass this information along about the Parish Nurse Show here on Crown Talking Drum Radio Network, Tuesday at 7:30, right?
Yeah, yes.
Okay, because, see, I have a program also on the Crown Talking Drum Radio Network Thursdays at 8 o'clock.
Oh, okay.
Yes,
all right.
And you know, we're here to help the next man out,
not for our
glory.
Exactly. That's what it's all about.
Glory.
Yeah.
And thank you again. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Night.
Okay. Have a good evening.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Shalom.
Bye-bye.